Okay, we'll get started. As our sheets. Oh, it looks long, don't be intimidated. Won't go through the whole thing today. Start small. Okay. They asked me to talk about Purim. Wednesday's here to give a short, small thing. So I obviously got excited. Purim's one of the more exciting holidays, a lot of simcha coming, you can feel it already. Really starts, I know it's Tu B'Shvat today, I gave my Tu B'Shvat shir the other day, so I've had to give a Purim shir today. Not only about Tu B'Shvat, but similar ideas of simcha, they're definitely connected in the most sprouting of ways, and which on Purim, we didn't see it coming, we daven for it, and it came. That's the idea of a tree, the idea of fruits as well. It's a barren tree, and we have to daven for it, and only if we daven do the fruits come. Only if we really believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us the fruits does it come. Sorry, mid-coffee still. So, today we're going to be sharing some thoughts. Starting off, up next week, some other weeks to finish it up, of the Mor V'Shemesh on Parshat Mishpatim, which deals with one of his many long, it's a long Torah, all of his Torahs are long, but he has what to say, that's why. About Purim. So, bear with it, but it's good. It's not dragging along. It's interesting all along the way. Does anyone know who the Mor V'Shemesh is? So the Mor V'Shemesh, if you went on the Poland trip, you might have heard his name in Krakow. From Krakow's name is Klon Miskalmish. Yes, he's related to the Ish Kodesh. That's why I have the same name. And he was one of the great Talmidim of Rav Elimelech Lizhinsk, we know. One of his carriers of Torah and spreaders of Torah. And he wrote a lot in his sefer called Mor V'Shemesh, right? The Lights of the Sun. But they're pretty long, generally, the Torahs. They're unbelievable, and they're long. You might have heard me quote them sometime, here and there. I don't think I've sat with a group and actually gone through an entire full Torah of the Mor V'Shemesh. Because he gives shiurim, not just, you know, little vortlach. So let's see what he has to say. This is on Parshas Mishpatim, actually. It was at the time Parshas Purim for him. And forget these are somewhat drushes. They are, so. He's speaking to a crowd. He starts off like this. He starts off from the Parsha Mishpatim over there. Shmos and Chafbez, Per Chafbez, Pasuk Chafchad. And the next psukim. It says, Melascha v'dimascha lo tacher, b'chor bincha titein li v'gomer. But what that pasuk's referring to, first it says, right, don't delay your karban. Give me the finest of your karbanos and don't delay your karban. Then it ends off the pasuk with Bechor bincha titainli. Give me your firstborn, right? Peto korecha, we speak about it in our tefillin even. It's a very important mitzvah of the Bechor, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu saved our Bechoros and Mitzrayim, so now our Bechoros are to him, and we need to redeem them from the coin. V'anshe kodesh tiyuli basar besadeh trefa lo tochelu. This is a continuance. This is the next psukim over here. L'kelev tishlechu notah. And the next pasuk says, you shall be to me holy, right? Anshe kodesh tiyuli. You need to be, that's a mitzvah, by the way, according to the Ramban. Yuli am kadosh. You need to be kadosh. It's not so easy always. And what? U'basar besadeh trefa, tref. Meat, those you can eat. Lo tochelu lekelv v'shechunata. Why? What should you do with them? Those you should throw to the dogs. Those aren't for yourself. You have to be holy. So once again, there's four things going on here in these two psukim. One is, don't delay your karban. Give it. Give of the best of the karbanos. And that pasuk ends off with, give of your firstborn. Give him back to me. He belongs to me. And then the next pasuk says, you need to be holy to me. You're not allowed to eat treif. What should you do with the treif? Throw it to the dogs. He says, and I'm sure you can think of the question yourself. Anyone want to try and figure it out?
what does anything have to do with each other here? This all this seems totally random. So many questions on this, like, and these are psukim one after the other. So yesh daktek ma'inyan chibur shel milascha v'dimascha lebchor bincha. What is the connection between the first pasuk that we looked at of not delaying your karban and giving over your bechor to a kadosh baruch hu? What is the connection between that number one? V'gam echiber lekan v'anshe kadosh shiyunli. How and why is it here? How is it connected at all? That you need to be holy human beings. What does that have to do with anything here? Maybe that's a paragraph in itself. Maybe it belongs in a different place. What is it doing here? In Gam Kashe, another problem he has. It's pretty obvious that if you have to be Anshe Kodesh, you don't eat treif meat. You're not allowed to eat treif meat. So it says, be holy and don't eat treif meat. But not only that, on top of that, he's asking, okay, there's a lot of things that make you an Anshe Kodesh. The one thing you're going to choose here to connect it with is don't eat treif meat. What about put on tefillin? What about wear tzitzis? What about, I don't know, go daven? What about, well, that's not in the Torah, really, as a mitzvah. What about so many other things? Give a karban. Even all the don't do's. Don't do ish ish. Don't do this. Don't do that. There's so many things that you could put down, and it says, be holy, and not only that, but you're not allowed to eat treif meat. It's very, very weird. Otzerich lavin. And one more question he has on this. And it ends off the pasuk over there. It says, right, don't eat treif meat. Be holy, don't eat treif meat. And what should you do with your treif meat? Throw it out to the dogs. What does it need to add that? We know that the Torah has no extra words, no extra anything. Nothing. Not an extra letter, not an extra dot, not an extra nakuda. Not an extra crown on any single letter. And here it seemingly wastes three words to tell us that we should throw our treif meat to the dogs, which is not a halacha, by the way. If you find treif meat, you don't have to throw it to the dogs. You don't have to worry about it. It seems to be something totally extra here, and strange also, meaning it doesn't need it. It could just say, don't eat treif meat. It doesn't have to say, don't, you know, just leave the treif meat on the side. What does that mean, throw it to the dogs? Hagam shedrashot chazal emes v'yatziv mikol makom nitein nachal nitein tam maspik lazeh. So there are answers to these questions. There are the medrash in the Mechilta, Mishpatim Chaf. By the way, I recommend anyone who doesn't necessarily do medrash, it's a very tough thing sometimes to learn, but the Mechilta on Sefer Shmos with the parish of the Nitziv. The Nitziv has a Mitzvah Yehuda Berlin, has a commentary on the Michalta. I think it's very kedai to do. It's not very, very difficult. It's very doable. But he says the Michalta does explain this pasuk a little bit. But Mikol Makom, he's going to give his own answer, which, as we can see, is not a very short answer, but it's not a very long answer either, because there's a lot of questions that we just went through. So once again, let's go over the questions one more time. Once again, what is the connection between don't delay your karban and give of your bechor? That's number one. Number two is, what does being holy have to do with anything here? Number three is, gam kasher v'chibuzeh eizeh anshei kodesh, meaning which holy people are not going to eat treif? Meaning, if you're holy, you're not going to eat treif. And what does that one mitzvah of treif have to do with specifically being holy here as opposed to any other mitzvah? And one more question, the fourth or the fifth, I lost track already. That, why did it tell us that we should throw it out to the dogs, the treif meat? Let's continue. V'naktim lahavin, mashuneh mar parshas Shkalim. So a few parshas later, in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Gimel, it says by parshas Shkalim, ze yitnu kol avar al pkadim machtis ha-shekel b'shekel ha-kodesh. That's the parsha of machtis ha-shekel, where it tells every man should give a chetzi shekel, so that we can count everyone, right? Then he can give, and it's also a tax, so to speak. But everyone should give a machatzis shekel, half a shekel. And the next pasuk says, ha'ashir lo yirbeh, v'hadal lo yamit mimachatzis shekel. What does that mean? It says that the rich man should not increase more than a machatzis shekel, more than a half a shekel, and the poor man should not decrease and give less than a half a shekel. Okay, so the rich man should not give 10 shekels, and the poor man shouldn't give, you know, 10 agurot. Shouldn't be that way. And again, he gives us issues with the psukim. V'tzarich lahavin. We need to understand this. Mipnei ma hashava kasuv b'tzedaka zu sheyitnu ani va'ishir b'sham machatzis hashekel. What's the story here? Why can't the rich give more? Why can't the poor give less? What's the whole big here? It's tzedaka, so to speak. And it's all equal, machzit. Why does it all need to be equal? V'im yirtzel yitem yotel machzit sashekel lama liyuchal. And if a person wants it, meaning that's, it's counting, but it's also a tax. So if it's all in a bank at the same time anyways, and everyone's giving their chelek, you just count one person gave, a second person give. Okay, so they want to count up each one, but okay, so take chetzi shekel out of it, throw the rest to the side. And if the rich guy wants to give 10,000 shekelim to donate to the Jewish fund of that time, let him give 10,000. And if the poor man doesn't have his Shabbos meal, is a machzis a shekel, is a half a shekel, and it's all he has, so let the guy give 10 agarot and count one of his agarot and say, okay, it's gilu, it's a machzis a shekel. Why can't you count with that coin? Why can't one person give more? When push comes to shove, it goes to tzedakah anyways. What bad is going to come of it? Or what extra crazy, meaning like, what's the problem here? Is there anything bad that's going to come of it? Is there any damage that's going to be done? No, nothing. Miscount? The worst thing? A miscount? Okay, a miscount, so someone paid more anyway, so it's not going to be the biggest deal. V'im gazer haTorah she'ani lo yefchot al kol panim mayav sida im yir ba'asher liten yoter. And if the Torah made the gzera that a poor person should not give less than a half a shekel, al kol panim, what's he going to lose out? Meaning, how is it losing out? Let's say a rich guy gives more. A rich guy says, don't worry, I'll cover his chetzi shekel. I'll give you 10,000 shekels. Just count, you know, half a shekel of that. It's for this poor guy who can't really afford it, so let him have Shabbos food. And what's the big, you know, what's who's going to lose out over there? If anything, you're going to gain from that. Why is it telling us that we can't do this? V'naktim od lahavina Mishnah, and says in the Mishnah in Shkalim, Secha Shkalim, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, Bechad ba'adar mashmin ala Shkalim v'ala klaim. On the first of Adar, it's coming up, or Shkodesh Adar, it's coming soon, or halfway, literally. That's what Tu B'Shvat is, the halfway point of the month. By the way, last night was the last time you were able to say Kiddush Levana. So I'm sorry if you missed it, but you have next month. It's not Stam Tu B'Shvat. It's halfway point of the month, where the moon is at its largest. V'naktim od lahavin ha-mishneh, v'echad ba'adir mashmin ala shkalim v'ala klaim. So the Mishnah says over there, On the first day of Adar, on Rosh Chodesh Adar, there's a mashma'ut, mashmin ala shkalim v'ala klaim. So you should look at two things, the number and the chetzi shekel, and the klaim. I don't know what klaim is. Excuse me. I don't know what klaim is.
Like the plants and animals?
Correct. It's crossbreeding, essentially. We know more with plants, but also crossbreeding. You're not allowed to mix breeds. You're not allowed to put a orange tree and breed it with a lemon tree and make a lorange, I guess. Lorange it would be called. Unless you have more orange than lemon. That's a tough one. But
or lemon.
You're not allowed to breed in the Gemara, and Shkalm talks about this, and the Mishnais and Brachas, and the Gemara Brachas talks about this, how you're not allowed to breed plants and other things as well, but you're not allowed to breed plants. Here he throws in his own line over here, which in the meantime makes no sense. He also wants to point out the greatness and how wonderful it is. He wants to be mishabeach on this minug of Am Yisrael to dress up as goyim on Purim. We all know we dress up on Purim. Okay? Even if you don't know what you're dressing up as, it probably came from the guy and the idea about it, which is fine. But there is a minhag to dress up like Goyish things on Purim. And he says, how wonderful and amazing is this minhag? And what does this have to do with anything? It's a good question. It's a very good question. But he threw it in. Gam ra'u chazal al kach she'amru. Just to add of his list of like, we're up to like the 1,000th question right now. Hopefully he'll help us out with that. But ma ra'u chazal al kach she'amru, it says in Gemara Megillah Daf Zayin Amudah. And it says Chai Vinish, the famous Gemara Chai Vinish Lebesume Vipuria Adaloyada bin Ar Haman Lebarach Mordechai. Why did Chazal have to tell us that a person is mechayev, a person is obligated to, however you want to translate this, but drink on Purim until the amount where he cannot distinguish between whether Haman is bad or Mordechai is good. So distinguishing that. So we'll leave off with these questions for this week. Move on to some of the answers, because it's kind of late on time. You need to go to Morning Seder. And you might want to start going through it, just to understand these questions a little bit more. But now we have all these questions, and I will be back, because I cannot leave you off as a kofer with all these questions on Purim. Everyone have a Tu B'Shvat Sameach, Rosh Hashanah L'Ilanot.